If Reality Check Radio enriches your day and life, support us to keep bringing you the content, voices, perspectives, and dose of reality you won't get anywhere else. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate.
We spoke to investigative journalist Ian Wishart only a few weeks ago. That was on NIWA's blocking of his Privacy Act bid and cherry-picking the data, which they basically admitted to. Before that, back in February, we were talking about the Too Hot to Handle piece, NIWA's misleading temperature records. Ian Wishart is back with us. Ian, thanks for coming back on RCR.
G'day, Paul.
Seems to be a target-rich environment out there at the moment for an investigative journalist.
Yeah, it's like shooting fish in a barrel, I tell you.
So let's talk about the latest piece out of the Centrist. We had it in our news on Friday, and that was New Zealand unprepared for EV fire risks, OIA documents reveal. You start reading it, and it's a shocker, mate.
Yeah, it is. I had long had a suspicion that New Zealand wasn't quite ready for EV technology, that as usual, it had been led by political ideology. Shoot first, ask questions later. So I put some OIA applications in beginning last year and to Maritime New Zealand and Kiwi Rail and Fire and Emergency New Zealand and Waka Kotahi NZTA and a few others, and began asking them for all the documentation they had on EV fire planning and what they were doing. Because when you think about it, the government wants, or the Labor Greens administration certainly wanted, and this one hasn't shown any major disinclination towards it, they wanted a transition to electric vehicles for the entire vehicle fleet eventually, and either EVs or hydrogen vehicles. And those requirements pose a number of questions, because at the moment we've just got 2% of the vehicle fleet incorporating EVs and hybrids. But when you get up to 30, 40, 50%, there's going to be a lot of EV traffic on the roads. Now, firstly, these EV vehicles are about 30% heavier than the equivalent-sized petrol car. So an ordinary EV like a Tesla weighs about as much as a Ford Ranger. So they have a big impact on the roads collectively. And I'm talking about when you get up to the sort of the saturation level of EV use on the roads. And we'll be paying more for road maintenance. But that's not the only thing. When you're stuck in traffic, bumper to bumper, in rush hour, in, say, the Waterview Tunnel or Lyttelton Tunnel or anywhere like that, an enclosed space, Auckland Harbour Bridge, and an EV suddenly catches fire in the lane next to you, and you're stuck there because you can't move, you can't back out, you can't go anywhere. And these things can be fully involved within 2 minutes. And they spout out jets of flame for the cars about 1.5, 2 metres each side. Oh, and they ignite your car and the car next to you and so on it goes.
Like a flamethrower.
Like a flamethrower. And it very quickly turns into a disaster, or can do. Now, we haven't had a massive conflagration like that in New Zealand. There have been cases, and there's photographs in the Centrist article of parked buses catching fire and igniting each other. And America's had cases where an EV's gone up in a parking lot and started to burn the other cars nearby, and it's been a massive fire. But what we haven't had is somebody stuck in rush hour in a tunnel and the possibility of a tragedy that would follow. Because when an EV burns, an ordinary petrol car burns at about 1,000 degrees. When an EV burns, it burns at up to 4,000 degrees Celsius, so it's a much hotter fire.
Yeah.
And the flames and the smoke itself is both highly toxic because it contains a lot of heavy metal particles, but it also contains hydrogen gas, which is explosive. So in the open air, hydrogen gas will float away, but if you're in a tunnel or an underground car park or something like that.
Or on the ferry.
Or on a ferry. And an EV fire starts, it raises a whole bunch of new problems. So the purpose of my OIA request was to find out what planning our government agencies had done in order to work out what risks they are facing. And the shocking truth is that prior to Jacinda Ardern and James Thorpe announcing the commitment to EVs in 2022, it appears they did no work on safety analysis because none of the OIA documents refer to anything prior to that decision being made.
So they weren't anticipating the policies to come at that point?
They weren't anticipating the risks to come. I mean, when you are saying we're going to abandon our existing 100-year-old technology and move to a new one, and you know that it carries a fire risk, you would think that somebody somewhere within government would have put their hand up and said, excuse me, Minister, we need to talk about this. The reality is they didn't do that. They're doing it now. And the report that's been released to the centrist is, as you say, an absolute shocker. It really is.
Yeah, so I'm just wondering if the, you know, emergency establishment were blindsided by this policy that came in with all these EV targets and, like, do it now, and being caught up in a vortex of other people's virtue signalling at that point.
I think that's a very good description of it. I think that certainly the government agencies share the worldview of renewable energy and everything that goes with it, and they're in the Kumbaya Stinging Club. But there was an email, and this centrist investigation is a five-part investigation, so there's four more parts to come. But the one of the government agencies, I think it was Waka Kotahi, said in an email last year, I suppose this is a dumb question to ask, but have we done any work on what happens if an EV catches fire on the Auckland Harbour Bridge or the Waterview Tunnel?
That reminds me of where's Erebus in relation to us now?
Yeah, it's on that level of, sadly, that level of foresight. So on the one hand, it's good that somebody bothered to ask the question. On the other hand, it's sad that nobody bothered to ask the question before they announced and pulled the trigger and said we're doing this.
Okay, more EVs would have, or probably still will, but in bigger scale if the previous government carried on the roads going forward. So at what point do, you know, they need to get onto this, do you think? Because it'll probably happen. There will be a fire of an EV vehicle, like you say, in the Waterview Tunnel during a traffic jam. These things happen.
They do, and this is sadly the case. I mean, the first defence from the agencies is going to be that tunnels have been tested overseas in EV fires and they've found to be most of them cope okay.
But that's, but do the emergency services know how to get in there and deal with the emergency as well? Because that competence and training is an issue here, isn't it?
Well, there's two aspects, and you're absolutely correct. The report released to the centrist under the OIA identifies 61 safety problems with EV vehicles and lack of planning. And one of them, it says, is that there's been absolutely no specialist training for New Zealand emergency services on how to deal with EV fires, let alone EV fires in tunnels and bridges and the like. Now, they did do their first tunnel test of a supposed EV fire in June last year in Auckland, the Viaduct Tunnel. But the test, the video footage that was released online with that, doesn't appear to show the vehicle actually on fire. It just shows the sprinklers coming on in the tunnel as a training exercise for how quickly the sprinklers can come on and where the firefighters can fight it. But I didn't see much in the way of flame, and the car was certainly fully intact and no sign of damage at the end of it. So it wasn't a very realistic test by any stretch of the imagination.
Electrical fires are different, though, when it comes to water as well, isn't it? Aren't they?
Yeah, the lithium battery fires are very difficult to extinguish because they create their own oxygen. And the idea of water or gas is that you smother the fire, a petrol fire, and deprive it of oxygen and it stops burning. But EV fires are self-sustaining because they contain their own fuel packs and they can just burn. And you can actually put an EV into the sea and it will still bubble away and burn for hours.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, you know, aviation's very strict with these kind of batteries. Very strict. You can't fly with them, actually, I don't think. Or they have to be stored in a particular way because there have been disasters. MH370, is it? People are saying that could have been the result of a lithium battery fire on board. So in terms of risk and not having training or anything in place to deal with any of this, really, sounds extreme, but should some cars not be going through tunnels?
That is a possibility that this report that's just been released to the Centrist actually says. It says that one of the big risks to tunnels, and this is the thing I was getting at before, the two factors to this. One is the lack of training of emergency services, but the other is the lack of training at scale. So overseas tunnels have been tested with one EV put in them and set on fire. And they've all had their by the book, by the numbers, emergency response, and they put the fire out and the tunnel's been okay. But if you've got a packed rush hour tunnel and no one can get in or get out, and this fire goes up in the middle of it and suddenly catches a whole lot of other vehicles on fire, then your tunnel's not dealing with one EV.
Yeah, and there could be more than one EV in that line of cars.
There could be. And the reality is you suddenly end up with a conflagration of 20 or 30 cars in a worst-case scenario that are burning and turning your billion-dollar tunnel into rubbish and cooking all the electrics in the whole nine yards, and suddenly you've got a tunnel that's out of operation for Lord knows how long. So, and that's without the toxic gases, the explosive gases, and the threat to the drivers and the passengers and the other cars trapped in the tunnel. And none of these things have been thought through. And so the seriousness of this situation is really covered in this document released to the Centrist, because people can read the OIA documents themselves and get a feel for just how up to speed our agencies are. They're just starting to grapple with these issues. And you mentioned the Cook Strait ferries. It's a major problem for them because they can't even at the present point in time mount a proper sea rescue of the Cook Strait ferries because they don't have any international ocean-going tugs available in New Zealand.
That's right.
So it's really
You're on your own, baby.
You're on your own. And if you've got a ferry vessel that's got its vehicle deck on fire, and the advice from the safety agencies is you can't approach an EV fire once it's burning. You've got to just stand back and let it burn, because otherwise you may be caught up in an explosion or gas. And the other proviso to that is that the gases that come out of the lithium batteries contain hydrofluoric acid, and that can burn through firefighters' PPE and still get them. So it's not an easy fire to deal with. And again, I bring people back to the main point. It's all very well and nice to be progressive and have your EV or your hybrid now and look like you're doing something for the planet. But when the vehicle fleet is 50% of these things, the scale of incidents is going to rise rapidly. And that's the problem.
Yeah, and you get 200 cars on a ferry.
Yeah, you can. And in Little Cook Strait, if it the EV fires, according to overseas shipping analysis, which I got under research late last year, they found that the EV fires can burn hot enough to actually melt through vehicle decks. So the ship starts to disintegrate if the fire gets too hot.
Oh, man. It's to the lifeboats.
It's to the lifeboats, and that's the problem. So it's not a matter of if something happens. It's a matter of when something happens. And when the numbers reach critical mass, then we'll start seeing this.
I wonder, Ian, if you think that in, you know, previous generations before us, like Dad, Granddad, who, you know, built the early infrastructure of the country, let's say, do you think they would have ever have let it get to this?
I think there was more common sense in the old days. And there was enough robustness in the debate process that ideas were tested and discussed openly. Nowadays, ideology has taken effect so much that you can't question the prevailing ideology. So once the crowd gets a zeitgeist and says, we're going to do this, and rah, 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 kumbaya, it's very hard to turn them around. And the idea develops a momentum of its own. And in this case, EVs have been seized on as the solution to climate change, when in fact they have a whole range of problems. We're not even discussing the production issues and the toxic waste when the battery life ends and that sort of thing. This is just an ongoing safety issue.
So the document that you mentioned in the piece, Ian, is by engineering consultancy Rationale NZ. Who prompted them to give advice on that?
I think that was an internal decision by one of the ministries to seek a consultancy to look at it. Rationale is based in the South Island, and their discussion document was pretty comprehensive, as anybody who looks at the documents in the OIA can see. They've flagged a number of issues that show that the country wasn't ready. They have, since that discussion document was written in 2022, done a draft report, and the ministry is now in possession of a final report on how they should proceed, and they're due to release that in the next few days or weeks, and that'll tell us what the current thinking is. But certainly there's been no evidence in the email trail that we've got under the OIA that shows that we have gotten on top of the major issues that, the discussion document identified.
Okay, so do you think, because you said multiple pieces to the series coming up, so by the end of the last part, do you think they'll be jumping into action and sort of clearing up these very loose ends?
I would like to think that the rationale report, seeing as it started with a bang, has continued with a hiss and a roar, because they've clearly identified some pretty serious issues from the get-go, and they've said we need to address these. And going back to one of your earlier questions, one of their pieces of advice was we may have to ban EVs or hydrogen vehicles from tunnels because of the risk to infrastructure. Now, I can't imagine that being a politically welcome decision, particularly if most of your fleet is EV or hydrogen.
Oh, dear. That's a bind.
Yeah, well, it does raise a whole bunch of concerns. So I guess it all comes back down to this idea of be careful what you wish for. And so you can come up with a great idea that looks good on paper, and you can go rah, rah, rah and sell it to the public and get all the lobby groups and the climate-striking children on board. But at the end of the day, the idea might still be a lead duck and just won't fly.
Yeah, well, it seems that now that it's out in the public, that's the sort of thing that public can relate to. They can see themselves sitting in a tunnel or on a ferry or something, and something like this happens. So while it's inside the walls of people who pass reports to each other, but when it's out there, you know, it gets people thinking, like I'm thinking now about this. I never really gave it a thought till now. But now, next time I go through the Mount Victoria Tunnel, what?
Exactly. It brings it home to people as to what the dangers are. And, you know, as I said, there are people out there listening to this who will be thinking that, hang on, the studies show that EV fires are much less likely than petrol fires. Well, there's two reasons for that. One is that there are more petrol vehicles on the road, and B, that, and as a result of that, petrol vehicles get involved in a lot more accidents. So numerically, yes, there are a lot more fires. But one American study a couple of years ago tried to quantify it and said, okay, we'll judge it by the numbers of vehicles produced in that genre. So they compared EV fires, hybrid fires, and petrol fires. And they found that EV fires were occurring at a rate of about 25 fires per 100,000 EV vehicles. And petrol car fires were occurring at a rate of 1,500 per 100,000 vehicles on the American roads. Surprisingly, hybrid fires account for 3,600 fires per 100,000 vehicles. So they outnumber both petrol and EV fires combined. Now, the New Zealand Fire Service defines an electric vehicle as a hybrid or an EV. So if you take that definition that the government here is using, in actual fact, EV fires are far more likely than petrol fires per 100,000
vehicles. Yeah, that bumps it right up on the hybrid.
It's nearly double. In fact, it's more than double. And then you got the complication that the American study didn't do all the donkey work it could have done. It didn't look at the age of the respective fleets. Petrol cars have been around for a long time, so they're an older fleet. EVs and hybrids are near new. And if they're showing this sort of fire damage risk within just being 2 or 3 years old, then what are they going to look like when they're 8, 10 years old? Same age as the petrol car fleet.
Yeah.
So there's and I think this is just this study that we've done in Centrist. There's going to be one that people have to read for themselves and get an idea of how it will affect them in real life situations. And it's something they do need to raise on social media and talk to their MPs and raise concerns about and say, well, what is being done to protect us? Because while pure EV fires may be rare, it appears that they're happening randomly more often than petrol fires. And it's the randomness that gets you. You can understand a petrol car catching fire if it hits another car. Yeah. We all understand that risk. We also all understand that a petrol fire can be quickly extinguished. We all move on with our lives. EV fires take up to 4 to 5 hours to put out. They can reignite at any time afterwards.
That's the Harbour Bridge offline for 5 hours, potentially.
Yeah, for one accident. And then there's the issue of if it's a really hot fire, the Harbour Bridge may be out of the line for a longer time while they do engineering checks.
You have to inspect engineering integrity after that.
Yeah, and so and then you get the issue, and we raise this in one of our parts of our investigation, of the emergency services, the fire service, being tied up at one incident for 5 or 6 hours with four times the number of appliances that they need to put out fire. So you are talking about a massive increase.
And then you get another one at the same time, which is possible as well.
Which is possible. And that's the thing, it could easily quickly stretch resources. And suddenly we have no fire protection. When your house goes up, they're busy out dealing with other fires in the community, and they're tired, their shifts are overworked, and they can't get to you. A bit like the 2 hour wait for an ambulance. And you can't have that with a fire, it's got to be quick.
The numbers that you mentioned on hybrids, boy, if they are a problem, you might be waiting longer for your Uber delivery.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. So
there are thousands of them out there.
It's early days for New Zealand's adoption of this technology. We are at 2.4% of the fleet. But at the stage when it's 30, 40, 50, 60% of the fleet, the problems that we face are going to be massive. And the risks of any particular vehicle randomly catching fire because of an internal battery short circuit or cell failure when you're in a supermarket car park building or a tunnel or a bridge or rush hour traffic, it just doesn't bear thinking about.
No. And there are the buses as well.
And the buses, yeah. I mean, the buses have even bigger batteries, and there's photographs in the Centrist article in one of the parts coming up of a bus with flames, jet flames shooting out up to 8 metres from the bus.
Oh, man. All right.
So if you're next to the bus when it goes up and they can go up literally within seconds, then you're basically being barbecued.
Not to mention being on it.
Yeah, and if you're on it, I think people have seen the videos of buses just suddenly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it takes no time. All right, well, this is, wow. Okay, it just keeps getting better from the, dramatic next chapter of everything. So New Zealand underprepared for EV fire risks, OIA documents reveal, the Centrist, Ian Wishart's work, and there's more to come. Ian, thanks for coming on and sort of going through that part of it, and people can go to the Centrist and follow the story from there.
Well, good. Thanks, Paul. And as I said, it's one where people need to educate themselves and whether they buy an EV knowing what the risks are or whether they decide to just caution is the better part of valor and just wait for the dust to settle. In a few weeks, we should see what the government's response from the Rationale Final Report, which hasn't been released but will be. We'll see what they have to say.
If Reality Check Radio enriches your day in life, support us to keep bringing you the content, voices, perspectives, and the dose of reality you won't get anywhere else. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate.